How do we achieve a fair society? There's a lot of focus on educational and work opportunities, but at the most abstract level, what we really want is recognition. This is the perspective shared by sociologist Michelle Lamont in her new book, Seeing Others: How Recognition Works and How It Can Heal a Divided World. Michelle is a professor of sociology and of African and African American studies at Harvard University, where she's also the Robert I. Goldman Professor of European Studies. Here she is to share five big ideas from her book.
I'm Michelle Lamont, professor of sociology and African and African American studies at Harvard University. And I'm here to tell you about some of the big ideas behind my new book, Seeing Others: How Recognition Works and How It Can Help Us Heal a Divided World. So the first big idea is about the importance of recognition. By recognition, I don't mean something like I recognize that this is an apple or I recognize Jim on the street. Instead, I mean the very act of acknowledging the value of a group of people or making them visible and worthy. So the media covers instances of recognition incessantly, and many people contribute to it regularly in their daily lives, whether members of minority groups or members of mainstream groups asserting their importance. These groups want to tell us in that they should be heard and respected. Yet, despite the real-world importance of this phenomenon, not many people have studied exactly how recognition is gained or lost, and how we can grow the circle of acceptance, broaden our criteria of who's valued, and weaken group boundaries. So this is what my book is about. I address these questions through several strategies. For one, I analyze how 185 change agents and 80 Gen Zs talk about the problems related to lack of recognition and about their contribution to broadening inclusion and challenging stereotypes. So change agents include Hollywood creatives, activists, journalists, and other group of people who are intentionally aiming to transform how we understand the world. It's part of their job. As for Gen Zs, I focus on them because they are the future and they're thinking hard about where we should be heading as a society at the time when the American dream is unlikely to deliver for these groups. So I found that inclusion is at the center of what they want for the future. By reading Seeing Others, you will learn to see reality through the lens of recognition, and you will comprehend aspects of social life that are otherwise not so visible. The book will put at your disposal new glasses through which to relate to the world. You will also better understand how to more effectively shape your environment. The second big idea is that dignity is as important to our well-being as our material resources. So this idea is certainly quite controversial. But consider that often stigma creates poverty. For instance, think of LGBTQ youth who are rejected by their parents and end up homeless. Here, poverty is caused by stigma. The cultural labeling generates material deprivation. So we see that causal arrow goes in that direction. The researchers I cite in the book, economists, psychologists, sociologists, are providing clear evidence of this. Of course, most of what we hear about in the media focuses on the distribution of resources, on who gets what. That's certainly the province of economists, but also a lot of sociologists have written about that. Yet, in another book that I've co-authored, titled Getting Respect, my colleagues and I interviewed Black folks in three countries, in the U.S., Brazil, and Israel, about their experiences of being treated unfairly. For the most part, they did not talk about discrimination, about not having access to work, housing, or good schools. Instead, they really talked about how they've experienced what we call assault on the self, that is being ignored, underestimated, viewed as less worthy, stereotyped, disrespected. They also discuss how they respond to these assaults. Patterns are very different across countries, with far more confrontation in the US than in Brazil. So this is really what seeing others is about, understanding how various people go about asserting their dignity. The third big idea is about how we gain recognition. So I show that this is often achieved through what I call recognition chains, which refer to networks of collaboration between change agents in various types of institutions that push for common message. More specifically, my book investigates the fields of strategic communication, philanthropy, the corporate sector, as well as artists and Hollywood creatives, to understand how they go about creating new narratives or depictions about how the world works and who's worthy. They also work together to scale up these narratives so that they become so widely shared that they're viewed as natural by the public. At this point, these narratives become taken for granted, seen as unavoidable or normal. We cannot understand how recognition spreads without taking into consideration these networks of collaboration. For instance, in seeing others, I consider how people who have HIV/AIDS came to be destigmatized. This did not happen for people who have been labeled obese. In the first case, participants in social movement aiming to support HIV/AIDS victims created alliances with many knowledge workers, lawyers, medical experts, social scientists, journalists, who diffused the idea that anyone could have AIDS, whereas previously many people thought it was a disease of immorally gay men who were too promiscuous. In contrast, people labeled as obese were far less successful at creating this type of alliance. As a result, many people continue to believe that it's okay to blame people who are obese for their predicament because they view them as lacking willpower or as too lazy to take care of themselves. So studying how the reduction of stigma works can show us that how we can move forward and destigmatize more groups, and that creating a more inclusive society requires collaboration between social movements and knowledge workers. Of course, there are other ways to create recognition. That's what DEI policies in large bureaucracies are doing, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. But as part of our interviews with change agents, my team and I interviewed 75 entertainment professionals and comedians. And from what they told us, we identified 8 different strategies they use to lift up groups that are viewed as weird or as inferior, minoritized groups, people of colors, LGBTQ people, for instance. The strategies include one that we call the Trojan horse strategy, and their comedians don't want to force their audience to eat their vegetables, yet they want to change the world. So to this end, they insert messages about inclusion into the stories they tell to make people laugh. But they also contribute to weakening group boundaries in the process. The fourth big idea of seeing others has to do with how Gen Zs came to imagine a different world oriented toward inclusion after the end of the American dream. So with growing inequality of the last decades, many young people have come to see the American dream as out of reach for them. This is accompanied by a massive mental health crisis. So this situation led me to want to understand how we can all work toward developing more new social ideals that can inspire hope. This is why my team and I interviewed 80 Gen Zs about what they think is wrong in our world. And we learned about what are their ideals and what they hope to achieve moving forward. So in our interviews, we found that many aspire to a life that combines hard work and entrepreneurship with a concern with mental health, and they want to maintain a work-life balance. But they're also oriented very much toward creating a more inclusive society, which would allow all of us to live more authentically, to be connected to who we want to be. So this generation born around the turn of the century is much less concerned with upward mobility than boomers are. They want to live their full lives now, and they act as important change agents who take seriously their mission of diffusing recognition. The last big idea has to do with the place of recognition, as it is central to American politics. So after becoming familiar with my book, the readers will see recognition everywhere. So much of what's happening in American politics is about fighting for recognition, and it can be explained by this. Think, for instance, about how the current governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is fighting critical race theories in school and asserting the power of parents over the education of their children. This has been interpreted as part of a broader recognition strategy to reaffirm the privileged position of white people over people of color in the United States. Similarly, many of the recent decisions of the Supreme Court of the U.S. have also been viewed through this lens as recognition strategies to assert the status or the power of one group over another. Think, for instance, of the power of men over women in the case of the termination of Roe versus Wade about abortion, or of straight people over LGBTQ in the case of the recent decision to limit access of the latter group to services. Politicians compete to give recognition to one group over another through their speeches and political platforms. In this sense, politics can be understood as competition for status and dignity. So seeing others conclude with specific actions we can engage in to help lower the temperature and to create a more inclusive society. This involves promoting what we all have in common as human beings, what I call ordinary universalism. Thinking about creating societies where many criteria of worth coexist, not only making money, but also valuing those who are caregivers or spiritual people. Instead of just engaging in a competition for status, many people can have status and be viewed as worthy at the same time. This is particularly important given the upcoming 2024 presidential election, which will take place against a background of deep cultural polarization. At a time when many workers feel undervalued after decades of growing inequality, and when many professionals are accused of smugness and of overlooking the challenges experienced by the less fortunate. More than ever, the Democratic Party needs to recognize the dignity of workers and draw bridges between professionals and other aggrieved groups. We can all work toward creating a world where many groups are valued at the same time. Thank you for listening, and I hope to have convinced you that seeing others is worth your time and is also a timely book. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. That was Michelle Lamont with 5 big ideas from Seeing Others, How Recognition Works, and How It Can Heal a Divided World. You might also like our book bite for Just Action, How to Challenge Segregation and Act It Under the Color of Law by Leah Rothstein and Richard Rothstein. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.